Board Gaming with Education in our first episode of the mini-series Gamification Diaries. I sit down and talk with Grace, my wife, about implementing a gamification system in her English language classroom. This is the first episode of the mini-series where we talk about day one and day two. So I talk about how I decided to implement this gamification system, and I also talk about the onboarding process in the first 2 days in Grace's class. So be sure to stick around right after our sponsor segment, and we'll jump right into the discussion.
Board Gaming with Education, a podcast for anyone curious about how games and education mix. We explore various topics like game-based learning, gamification, and board games, and the impacts they have on learning. Here's your host, Dustin Statz.
This episode is all about gamification and how this tool can help you in your classroom. Another great website you can find other teacher resources is ampeduplearning.com. They are also a teacher-owned company that strive to make learning fun, engaging, and competitive with unique games and teacher-created lessons. Definitely check out their website. They have a couple board games, both history-based board games called Freck and Risk It, as well as a lot of other curated resources by other teachers that they've recruited worldwide. So be sure to check that out. Those resources go into different content areas outside of history as well. If you do go to their website, be sure to use the coupon code BGEGAMES for a 10% discount on any of their resources or apparel or any of the board games. So definitely check out their site. That again is ampedUpLearning.com. All right, let's get into the gamification discussion. Welcome to Board Gaming with Education. I am your host, Dustin, and today we have a special semi-regular co-host, Mrs. Withmorey, or maybe you can call her Grace, but I know her by Mrs. Withmorey some days.
Mrs. Withmorey is what my students call me.
Yes, so today we have her on the show because we are going to talk about gamification diaries. Gamification diaries, these episodes are about our process of implementing a gamification system in her classroom. So today we're going to talk about that, but before we get into the topic, Grace, can you introduce yourself for the listeners or for anyone that's listening that is not aware of who you are and doesn't know you?
Hi everyone, my name is Grace, like Dustin just said. I am a teacher here in Taipei, Taiwan. I teach at a high school, grades 9 through 12. I specifically teach ELL classes as well as some design classes on Illustrator and Photoshop. I've been teaching for about 4.5 years on and off, and most recently just been here for the past 2 years.
So for those that don't know, Grace and I met in our graduate school program studying international studies with a concentration in education. So we both have a background in teaching, but
yes,
her background is more in art, while mine would be in English language education.
Yeah, so my undergraduate degree was art major. And then for my grad school, I started getting more into education. And the current job kind of combines the two.
Right. So today we are going to talk about your English language education class, not your art classes, since that's
right
where my background is as well.
So I do teach one ELL class a semester. In the past, it's been more than one. This quarter, we've just had one ELL writing class with about 10 students of very different levels.
Okay, so these episodes are going to be very focused, and we're going to jump right into the topic and discuss kind of any challenges or things that we see that worked really well with the gamification system, and Grace will kind of be sharing her perspective as the teacher of the class, while I will be sharing my perspective, how I designed the gamification system and the choices I made implementing the system and the lessons I had planned for her classes.
Yeah, I was very fortunate.
So actually, I go to her class once a week. It's the second week of classes is this week, right?
Yeah, I think your first week, the first week you came once, and this week you've been at our class twice.
Right. So this week I visited two different times.
Yes.
The first week I was there for the full class period, and then this week I was there on Monday for about, I think I only had about 30 minutes with your class because...
So we on Mondays we have an assembly before class, and it ran long, so you were just waiting in the classroom.
Yeah, so we had to cut a little bit of that onboarding process that week, and then the following week, the following day, Thursday, which would be today actually, I was in the class for the whole period, but the last 20 minutes were for you to catch up on some things that your students were working on.
Yeah, so I did need to give them time for working on a project. They were doing some presentations, and they had requested some extra time. So the last, 25 minutes we gave to them to work in their groups.
Right, so we're talking about this to kind of frame this episode into where we are in the gamification diaries process, I guess we'll call that. And this is the very beginning of her semester, she actually does quarters, so yeah, we have 8 weeks.
So we do quarter system, so we actually have 9 weeks, 9 weeks per quarter. So we just started right after the new year, January 7th.
Right, so this episode is actually going to be airing sometime in February, so about a month after this first initial process of adding the gamification system into her curriculum. So we're going to get started by first, I want to ask you, Grace, I was in the classroom with you, but I'm not inside your head, even if I'm married to you. So I want to know maybe what you thought of the perspective of being the teacher and adding a system, this gamification system that I have been kind of creating and you've helped a little bit with. And so, but you are the teacher of this class and you see the students every day. So what was kind of your experience from the perspective of the teacher?
Well, to be honest, I was really nervous at first.
Nervous because actually, I was joining your class?
A little bit of everything. I'm just a nervous person. So I was nervous. I think, it was a new semester. And for this particular class, because there were not so many students, they combined a pretty big range of levels. So we have students that can write pretty decent essays. They know the structure of an essay and they can formulate their ideas well enough to kind of make it into an essay. Whereas on the other end, you have students who are struggling with just writing simple paragraphs or sentences. So there is kind of a large range, which that in itself made me a little bit nervous because of the combined classes. But I was also a little bit nervous, I think, because as a teacher, you like to be in control 100%. So you plan your lessons, you plan the progression of your classes. And I had wanted to implement something like this in the past, and I didn't really know how. So I was really excited to be able to work with you on this, even though I was nervous.
Yeah, you helped me a lot with some of the extra legwork to get it going and to get it started. But maybe to just frame your context of where you're teaching. So in Taiwan, you're teaching ELL students who are preparing to take full-on American high school curriculum courses, right?
Yeah, so I actually work at an American school here in Taipei, Taiwan. So this school, their goal is to send students to college abroad, usually English-speaking country, not always, but the students decide. But they enroll in our classes. It's all the American curriculum. Everything's done in English. However, there are some students that come from the local school to our school, and their English level is not high enough for them to really be enrolled in the what we call open high classes, which is just the full-on English classes. So we have three different levels that they can go through. So each quarter, they will go through a different class and hopefully move up fairly quickly through those levels in order to be able to enter in with the rest of the students through the regular American curriculum.
Right. So the class that we're in is mainly English language courses, or English language education is the focus, and you're helping them with their writing in that course.
We're primarily focused on writing with grammar and, of course, some reading.
Okay, so let's get into the gamification system. So I want to kind of talk about what I did as far as the timeline for introducing this system to the students and preparations for the system as well. So initially, I had implemented a system in my college university level courses this last semester.
Right.
And I kind of built on that, but I stripped away a lot of what I was doing in my college courses because, well, for two reasons. I made a lot of work for myself. I think I was doing a lot of tracking of their, I called it KP or knowledge points. So I tried to make a system to where the tracking was much easier to do. You also only have 10 students in your class.
Right, so it's pretty manageable.
Right, it's a little bit easier to track. And I also wanted to do something where any teacher can take the same system and apply it to their curriculum as well. So I had been brainstorming for the past few months when I was in my course or when I was teaching my courses, trying to think of what I can do to make my system better. And then I started actually putting down the process on paper maybe two or three weeks before your classes started. Right. One thing that I really was struggling with was how to track the XP, and I still think the process can be easier. And right now it's tracked on Excel sheets for each individual student, and they receive XP like cards throughout the class, right?
Yeah, so we created some cards that were, they have a 10 XP coin on them, and throughout the day, as if they help a friend in their class or if they do something that we've already predetermined gains them an XP, they receive them, and I just hand them out at that moment. And then at the end of class, before, as they're walking out, they just hand them over to me, and I start taking notes on who gained what.
Right. The students, they actually have a character folder too, a character packet, I think I called it. So they, on this packet, it's like a clear folder. So their character is the front page. So when they receive their folder, they can see their character and the picture they have. And on top of that front page is a little pocket for their XP. So all they need to do is place that into the pocket, and then they give it to Grace at the end of class. She hands it over to me, or I, or she herself will track it in the Google Sheet. And all she has to do is click a box and highlight it green to show how much XP they have.
Right.
It's like filling up a bar on the Excel sheet.
Yeah, it's kind of like the battery levels or something like that. As far as throughout the class period, it really doesn't affect the way the classes run. And it's nice to have those cards, because then I just hand it to them. And then they now get really excited, and they're like, oh, he just helped me so he can get 10 XP or something like that. So they're keeping each other accountable, or like one person helped today and then they're like, well, like someone was being very judgmental about how they helped. So I don't know. It was funny, because I think they're a little more invested with working with each other because of the XP points.
Yeah. So actually we had thought about, well, just getting XP is not, is, well, one, how do they get it? And then what can they do with it? So first, how can they get the XP? What are some things? So I actually, since I'm not part of her class, I really didn't know what way she could give them to her students. So I had to decide what way you would, or you had to decide.
Right.
So you had to decide which way.
So I chose a couple that would be fairly easy, but by fairly easy, I mean someone at some point should get that during the day. For example, helping a classmate. And normally my students tend to be kind of loud. And so I hear when someone says like, oh, how do I spell such and such word? And then maybe another student will jump in and say, oh, it's like this. So they usually don't come to me for those things, which is really nice. They go to each other. And so when I hear someone helping the other, then I go ahead and give them an XP. So that's one of them. Another one that they thought it was impossible, but a few of them already got it, was like 100% on one of the quizzes or tests. And we do have some students that got it. And like, I think they were extra proud because they got XP. Then besides just those daily goals of things that they do in the classroom, we also created some achievements, right? And I think that was the biggest one. So like after the first week, one of the achievements that someone got was our read 40 pages achievement. And for my class, of course, for having so many different levels, I felt like 40 pages was okay achievement.
It was kind of surprising one student got it.
And she was actually, she's actually one of the lower level students. But I have them do a daily reading log, and I could tell that she actually got through the story based on her reading logs. So we made a big deal, and I gave her her like 50 XP points, and she was really proud of herself. She's normally one of the quieter ones. And so like I had one student, he was like, how did she do that? I've only read 8 pages. So I think it gives them a little sense of like competition, but also like those that have created those achievements feel like extra proud and maybe a little more motivated. I don't know. I'll see how her next reading log comes in. Maybe she'll read really, really fast. I don't know.
It's amazing how like the XP, it's just a made up thing. And achievement is also a made up thing. But yeah. Just to be recognized for doing something like that really.
Yeah, I also made it a big deal. I wrote it on the board, like, and everyone clapped after. And I think she felt really good. And everyone else was like, whoa, I need to step up my game.
Yeah, I think it's good for that culture of the class to like recognizing the students that are doing well and wanting to be part of that as well.
Yeah, and I know these students of the different levels have been in classes together before, and like the upper level kind of like, you know, like not look down on the other level, but they're like, why are we in the same class type of thing. But when like that lower level person in the ELL class had the achievement first, I could tell like others were like, whoa, like why didn't I read 40 pages already? And obviously they're graded reader books, so the level is not the same, but for her that's a good achievement.
Right, so those are graded readers, so that the level of the reader or level of the reading is based on the student's level. So
So yeah, it's still challenging for her because we took the test or whatever to make sure they're at the right level, reading level. So for her, it's still challenging. It's just she's putting in the work.
Yeah, so I think one thing that will be a challenge for us, and we can always add this later, and also for anyone that hopefully eventually can use this system when we have it, when I have all the materials ready to go, I almost have it ready, but one thing that I think we need to consider, and also if you're a teacher and you're doing something like this, is how to make it possible for every student to earn XP, because you don't want students that get so low in their XP that they're demotivated. And something we might need to consider is other ways that almost any student can gain XP. Maybe like something they can do, you can give away 10 XP each day for one particular task that is almost assigned. I don't know, something we need to maybe brainstorm.
Yeah, I did realize that with one of my students. I kind of like asked for everyone to line up and whoever got XP, and he was kind of just like, I didn't get any today. Like, and obviously not everyone got some, but if out of 10, it's kind of noticeable when you don't. And he's not even one of the lower ones. I think it just kind of was like, hey, I didn't get any. So I don't know if, it didn't sound like he was unmotivated, but I could definitely see it going that way.
Yeah, and I think with your students, not every student needs to earn XP every day, but what teachers can do, and one thing that will be up to any teacher who uses this system, is they're going to need to figure out how much XP on average do they give a day? And if they're lower, like younger students, you want to give out as much XP as possible. And you probably don't want to leave out some students. So like just a task that they do normally every day, you can give them XP for that.
Yeah. And I think another thing that helps was like when I did some station work, so they were going around in stations and we had about 5 stations, very quick stations where they would go around every like 10 minutes. I would switch them, I think. And then at each station, they were working with partners, and at each station, they had the opportunity to gain XP. So I think in that, when we did station work just the other day, I was like, whoa, I think I gave out way too many XP, because one person like handed them in and was like, I got 70 today. And I was like, whoa, okay, maybe I went too crazy. But I think that really helped, because it wasn't just like the work that they were doing. It was their partner work, and they kind of like helped each other go up.
Yeah, so I think that's helpful. But first, what are stations? If you could help maybe explain really quickly. I think maybe a lot of listeners might know, but for anyone that is not familiar, what are stations? Because maybe they're called different things, different term for what you do.
So stations are just a way to reinforce the topic that you've been covering in class. So you create a certain number of activities that reinforce the topic. This can be them watching a video, them doing a worksheet, them doing a crossword puzzle, etc. And then the students go around each station in groups, so you can set it up throughout your whole classroom and you just keep track of time and say next. and they rotate, and obviously you're walking around helping them out if they're struggling, but it's a way to get multimedia type activities in there, and just them moving around the classroom is a lot more beneficial than them just sitting there.
Yeah, I think helps with multimedia, helps target just all the different types of learners too.
Oh yeah,
and I
definitely
think it's good. So with the stations, so yeah, you said you gave out a lot of XP during the station. So we kind of talked about how they can earn XP, your students. So what about, why is XP something they want to earn? Or, well, first, they can use it for certain things. What can they use the XP for?
So the cheapest way they can spend their XP is getting a piece of candy from me.
Well, I guess they don't spend the XP, because one thing that's important for them to know is that once they gain the XP, they don't lose it. So it's kind of what is a bit different is we're working up towards more and more and more,
right?
Versus,
so yeah, I guess they don't spend it, they never lose their XP, but they can set a few XP points towards a certain activity.
Yeah, I like to see it as unlocking certain abilities, or actually we call them items, right? And that's important too for your gamification system, or if you end up using the one that I'm trying, is to have a nice theme to go with it.
Right.
And we used a theme that I kind of borrowed the idea from Gabe Barrett. He was on our show in a previous episode. He does the Board Game Design Lab podcast, and he does Dungeons and Dragons in his class as a part of his maybe semester or quarter. And he used the theme of time travel. And so we did interdimensional travelers. So really anything can be done with this theme. So their items, what are their items again? You said.
Yeah, so for example, we do a lot of partner work. And one of the ones that we chose was Powers Unite. So I usually choose our partners because we tend to see kind of like cliques forming. So I try to make sure everyone has a chance to be with others in the class. So the Powers Unite kind of lets them work around that once, and they get to, for that class period, choose their own groups. Another one is like future goggles is what we call it. And they do reading logs every day where they have to read for 20 minutes and write a little summary. And instead, the future goggles lets them watch an English TV show for 20 minutes.
They were so excited about being able to watch Netflix.
Once it was like, does Netflix count? I was like, as long as it's in English.
I think she asked that question like 3 times. Yeah. Wanted to be sure.
And I know, like, I did see another student, like, his eyes widened because he kind of mentioned like he watches a lot of English TV shows. And I was like, yeah, it can count if you have the future goggles. We have the time machine, so I collect notebooks every Monday, and instead they could turn it in on Tuesday, so a day later. We have refuel, which is have lunch with myself or Dustin or both.
I heard all your students there kept saying, we really want to use the refuel, but we don't want to make Mrs. Withmore feel bad.
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if some of them chose to just eat with you and not with both of us. Then we have the sweet gems, which are just a piece of candy from me. I don't know. Those are a little bit cheaper or shorter.
Easier to unlock.
Easier. Sorry. I keep thinking of spending, but easier to unlock. But I have a feeling a lot of them will save their XP for others. Then we have the Scroll of Knowledge, which every Monday we read an article from the news. And I am the one that chooses them based on what I think the students will be interested in. But this allows the student that unlocks that to choose the article for the rest of the class. So it can be anything that they're interested in.
Yeah, so you pretty much just added those items onto what you are already doing in your class. Didn't need to add anything special to you.
Right. So I already have like a daily routine. And so this kind of is just like, what can this student do that's kind of a little bit of a benefit to them, but it still won't like completely destroy the system we have or the routine I have in place.
We talked about how they earn XP and why they earn XP and also what they can use it for. So part of the process of preparing before we went to the first class. So we had all this lined up and ready to go. The first class was an introduction to the XP system. And after that, or before, we had prepared a way for them to create characters.
I think with the character creation, one thing we did run into was some people wanted to choose each other as their characters. So one person was using the name of a classmate. So we had to kind of make sure they stay away from that. But I think for the most part, students ended up being somewhat creative with their characters. What would you say?
Yeah, I mean, some of the characters or some of the your students chose characters and they did name them after another student. The student's name is Alex for the sake of the show. Right. And they named the character Balix. So obviously it was Alex. They just changed a little bit of it. So what I did, they drew the character, and they kind of, because part of the character sheet was to draw visual representation of their character, because what I wanted to do is find a more like detailed version of it online. Mm-hmm. And so he drew a picture of the student, like pretty much what he looked like. And so when I printed his picture, I found this like really buff guy with like a rose in his teeth. And like the guy looks really handsome, quote unquote handsome. And so instead, he was playing Balix in this very handsome character now.
So after they created the character sheet, what Dustin did was try to find an image as closely to their drawing as possible. And in order for that to be their character, because their drawings can be a little rough. And then so for that one in particular, I wasn't sure if he'd want to change it, but he's sticking to it. And he likes the little rose.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that they were meant to do with that character sheet too is really kind of flesh out their character, because part of this gamification system isn't just the XP, but building a classroom culture. And these characters are going throughout the quarter. So far, we've done it once as of recording this episode, and we'll talk about that on a later episode. But what they were starting to do is develop a culture, and their characters are part of a story. And creating those stories and sharing those stories with other students in class is one way that the culture can grow in the classroom.
Right. So Dustin and I also created characters. And on day one, we introduced our own characters and gave an example as to how much detail, I guess, you should put into it. Of course, the detail varied based on the student. But I think the examples helped a lot as far as making sure they think outside of the box. So I think Dustin had an alien cowboy and I had a vampire musician. So really thinking outside of just the people sphere.
Right. Yeah. My character was Ren the alien. So it's kind of a play on words for anyone that knows Chinese, because Ren is human or person in Chinese, and alien is also foreigner. And so it's kind of a play on Wai Guo Ren, which is foreigner or alien in Chinese. But it was funny, and I used the character. He had a horse. His horse's name was Wai, so it was part of the word Wai Guo Ren, which is foreigner. And he was from Beautiful Planet, which beautiful in Chinese is Mei, which is America. Mei Guo is America in Chinese. So I don't think any of your students caught the depth that I put into
it. I don't think I
would
have caught it, to be honest.
But they had to create their characters and some things. Well, what was your character? How about?
Mine was Emery Jones. She was a vampire musician from Venus. And she loved to play music, but her weakness was that if she heard any other music besides her own, she would fall
cry?
Apart.
Oh, fall apart.
Like, it would hurt her ears. Screeching. Oh, I was using one of the vocabulary words. I think it would make her head throb.
Throb.
Throb is her vocabulary word. So I tried squeezing those in instead of your little Chinese play on words. I
well,
squeezed
I didn't
in
know,
as many
I didn't
vocabulary,
know the vocabulary
words.
Word, so. Yeah, but I mean, they had to create the character with their job, their personality, their strength, their weakness. They had to think about an accessory they have, their clothing, their origin, so where they're from, and their previous relationships and what they believe in. So this was a good starting exercise for them to kind of get in the mindset of, what do I need to do with this character? I need to, because a lot of them weren't ready to really play that character and think about that character in specifics.
Yes. To be honest, I don't know how seriously, like, obviously they took it somewhat seriously because we were making them do it, but I don't think they realized until like day two and three that, oh, like this character I made, I'm actually going to keep using it as opposed to like just an activity we do one day.
Yeah, and that's something I tried stressing at the beginning, and I think that's why like they were okay with choosing their classmate and they didn't really care too much. Right. Like, oh, it's just a joke, haha. But they didn't realize, oh, they're going to be this character
like
for the rest of the quarter.
Day two, you got a printed sheet.
Yeah.
Of, like, your character.
Right, right. And they kind of, they're a bit surprised when I handed them their printed sheets. Yeah. But, so, yeah, that was the first day. We just created the characters, introduced the XP system. Are we missing anything about the system? I think that's it. They can check their XP at any time on Google. And
yeah,
Google
so
Classroom.
We use Google Classroom, and I just went ahead and made a folder specifically for the gamification that Dustin is doing. So it's just called Gaming with Dustin, and one of the materials there are where they can check their XP points.
Oh, one thing we did do to kind of help with creativity is ask them to vote for the most creative character. Unfortunately, that did not work.
They all just voted for themselves.
Yeah.
I think that was my fault because I think you had to leave early, or I was the one in charge of getting that handled, and I didn't stress the fact that they needed to vote for someone else, so that we gave them a chance to present their characters in front of the class, so they were all able to hear about the other characters, but then when it came down to voting for the best character, everyone just voted for themselves.
So that was day one. Day two, we can talk about really quickly because I was only there for about 30 minutes and I had a meeting to go to that was planned for me last minute. So I had to rush
right out
of there.
But, and our assembly went really long. So
yeah. So what did we do on day two?
On day two is when I asked the students to introduce the characters. And that was when Dustin had to leave. But we did introduce the characters and they did vote on day two. We also asked the students to put their characters in a situation.
Yeah, this was a writing prompt that they were able to work on and kind of incorporate your writing curriculum into the story or the game. They had to decide what their character would do if they were waiting in line at Starbucks and someone cut them and ordered in front of them. So we wanted to choose a situation that was more real life, so they didn't have to be too creative in how their character would react. But to actually, again, put them in the mindset of how their character would act instead of how they would act.
So actually, when they were brainstorming what to write about, one of my students, who his character is essentially based on John Cena or inspired by him, he was like, oh, I'd probably just let that person come in front of me. And I was like, well, let's think about your character. And he's like, oh no, my character would fight. So
I don't know if that's true.
I don't think that's true either.
But they just see, nice guy.
Yeah, they just see it as what they see on TV and YouTube videos. So to them, it's just a fighter. So it was just like, I just wanted to double check. I was like, oh, is that really what your character would do? And he was like, wait, no, my character wouldn't do that.
All right, so that was, I mean, that was the first, we kind of talked about the how I prepared and how I added it onto your curriculum and what decisions you needed to make with the system. And then we also talked about the day one and day two. For next episode, we'll talk about day three.
Yeah.
But before we go, let's talk about maybe, or let's maybe answer a couple questions as to what was the best thing that came out of this process so far and one thing that maybe we should work on or consider moving forward.
I think what I've noticed the most is students that are more shy or quiet have the opportunity to really shine in this type of environment, not only with just what XP points or achievements that they can get, but also just since their characters have to interact, there's more of a chance for them to kind of open up and be with kind of those louder students that they probably wouldn't normally interact with.
And how about something that we should consider or a challenge, something we should consider moving forward or a challenge that we've encountered?
I think for what I've noticed is for the most part, students are interested. It's just keeping them on track as far as like not taking it totally as a joke. I don't think we've really had that issue. I think it was just day one with their characters. It was kind of just like playful for fun. But I think just the fact that we continued bringing the characters up throughout the class, it's already been helping them take it a little more seriously.
Yeah, I think one thing that, well, it was the first time that I had introduced the system as a guest teacher. So for me and for your students, probably they're like, oh, he's just here. He's not really our teacher, so
yeah, he's we don't need here to play with us or something.
Right. So I think that was something that maybe we could have framed a little bit better before we started.
I guess on day one, when you were asking them questions, a lot of them would, like, when you ask a question, would turn to me and then expect me to say something. And then I think I probably, when I introduced you in the beginning, should have maybe made it more clear or handed it off to you and hid a little bit more. I stand in the back of the classroom, but they always turn to me. I think that's just a natural reaction for them because a lot of them have had me before in their class and they just have feel more comfortable. But making it more clear that you're going to be coming frequently and it's not just a one-time thing.
Well, I think that's more to do with they're just used to you as the teacher and I'm a guest in the classroom. But as far as the game or the characters, we could have maybe framed it that I'm going to be here and we're going to use these characters throughout the semester. And
not just a one time, yeah. And so from that outsider, like, of our classroom coming in, what was one thing that you thought was positive?
For me, it was really hard. I always ask you when you come home, it's like, oh, did they like the game today, or were they excited when they earned XP? So for me, it's hard to know, like, what really worked well and what really didn't. But one thing that I think has worked well is knowing, or your students, that they know they can check their XP on Google Classroom anytime. So I've had students in your class ask me, oh, where can I find my XP? Or when I've shown the leaderboard, Oh, that's something we didn't talk about. We have a leaderboard each week too to show the top three students. And when I've shown that, the first week I showed it, all the other students, they went to the Google Classroom to check their XP and compare. And I think that's good. Yeah. And as far as a challenge, I think to iterate what you said again, just really making the onboarding process more clear and making it known to the students that these are your characters for the quarter. One thing that I think might present a challenge in the future, or we can just say your character can never die, is if one of your students tries to do something crazy and they just don't do it, and like maybe they roll the dice and it's really low. We can just, as a dungeon master, I can just say something else happens, but I wonder if they'll ever get tired of their character or anything like that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, for the most part, I think we will give them some wiggle room with how they work with their character, maybe.
Yeah, we'll see. I think keeping the same character the same would be, I think, most beneficial.
And I think one thing that will help, though, is our class goes by so fast. 9 weeks will
It's only a quarter, so it's fine. And then they can create a new character next quarter, and then they'll take it maybe more serious.
Right. After they know from quarter one or the first quarter, they'll know to take it more seriously.
Right. And then actually next quarter, I'm already brainstorming ways to add on to the system to make it more advanced, because I think at that point they might be too used to it. I don't know. We'll see what happens towards the end of this quarter.
I also thought it was funny when you introduced yourself and you said you were a university instructor, and they kind of got all like a little jittery, maybe a little nervous and didn't know what to expect. But I think they definitely see you in a different light after playing some games with them.
Yeah, so actually we didn't talk about day three, and we'll talk about that next episode. So Grace, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
And
for coming to my class and making it easier for me.
It's fun. That's why I like to do it. So we will talk with you, and hopefully you tune in next week and we'll have more of the conversation. We'll talk about day three, where we actually do a game, a short, we call it one off in the Dungeons and Dragons or role-playing game hobby, I guess. They call it a one-off. It's just a one-time adventure, and we'll talk about that next week.
Stay tuned.
As always, thank you for listening, and stay tuned. We will have a lot of resources based on this gamification system that you will be able to access through our website, boardgamingwitheducation.com. Also, stay tuned, because we hope to make this system available to you in the form of a gamification kit. We're still in the process of putting this together, so stay tuned for information and updates regarding that. And if you like what you heard and you want to support our show, be sure to go to our support page, boardgamingwitheducation.com/support, or you can find that through our homepage. Again, thank you for listening. This episode was made possible thanks to Amped Up Learning. They are our sponsor for Season 5, and they are also a teacher-owned company that strives to make learning fun. Definitely check out their site, ampeduplearning.com. You can find a lot of resources there. We talked about gamification, a resource that you can use or a tool you can use in your classroom. They have a lot of other tools as well, like different escape room resources, different project-based lesson plans, as well as their own board games for history class. They have Freck. It's a new tabletop card game and classroom resource that aims at teaching students key social studies vocabulary in an engaging, competitive, and creative way. They also have Risk It as a new way to compete in history class. It involves teams, trivia, and taking chances. They have a really cool push your luck element to it. So check out their site. If you do go onto their site to purchase any resources or apparel like t-shirts or other sweatshirts, be sure to use our coupon code BGEGAMES. So that's ampeduplearning.com and BGEGAMES.
Thank you for listening in this week. If you like what you heard, be sure to let us know. You can find us on social media as Board Gaming with Education or BGE Games, or email us at podcast@boardgamingwitheducation.com. If you want to support our podcast, be sure to check out our support page on our website. As always, teach better, learn more, and most importantly, play more. Thank you for listening, and until next time.